We'll have that all back ready for next week, and so we'll be able to use that again. You'll be able to go back to sleep. It is good to be back with you, and I do want to thank Colonel for we had the opportunity for him to share last week the work that they've been doing in China, and we do appreciate him being able to share that with everybody, and I appreciate the opportunity to be able to be with the grandkids last week. We enjoyed that tremendously. We're talking about unless statements of Jesus. And what we've been looking at is there are eight different statements that Jesus makes where he uses the word or the term unless or except, which basically is about setting up some conditions. And we've talked about the idea that, you know, people would say, well, wait a minute, you're talking about conditions here. I thought agape is unconditional. Well, it is. Agape is unconditional. God always loves us. He always will love us. And there is nothing that we can do to make God love us either more or less. God's love is always there. So that is unconditional. But what we've been saying all along is that salvation is conditional. And these statements that Jesus is making help us to understand the conditions that he has set forth for us to be able to enter the kingdom of heaven and to be with him for all eternity. So as we look at these different statements, keep that in mind that they are his conditions. And since, as Colonel pointed out, we're doing a communion, since he is the creator, he's the one who gets to set the conditions, right? See, we don't get to set those, so he sets those. And that's what we're looking at is some of the conditions that he sets forth for us to be a part of the kingdom. And this one that we're looking at today is when Jesus talks to Nicodemus and he says, unless you are born again. So we're going to talk about being born again this morning. Now, as we begin looking at this, let me ask you to think about for just a moment. I want you to have a picture in your mind of a brand spanking new, okay, spanking is a key word here, brand spanking new baby. Alright, that has just been born. What are some of the characteristics that we typically think of when we think of a brand new, newborn baby? Well, you know, when I think of that, I think first of all of purity. I think of innocence. I think of a person, of a human being that is pure and clean. All of those kinds of things that when I see a brand new baby, that's what comes to mind is that kind of a picture of what being born is all about. Also, someone who is helpless and someone who is dependent. See? So not only pure, not only innocent, not only clean, but someone who is helpless and dependent. That's a picture of a brand new, newborn baby. So I want you to kind of keep that picture in your mind as we talk about Jesus' statement about being born again. And we start out with, what does that really mean? What does it mean? What is being born again really all about? We go to the story in John chapter 3 where Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night, and Nicodemus opens up the conversation with Jesus by saying, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher from God, for no one could do the things that you are doing, and Nicodemus even uses that word, unless God were with him. And to that statement, Jesus then replies to him, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of heaven unless he is born again. Okay? He must be born again. Nicodemus, on hearing this from Jesus, asked, well, wait a minute, how can that be? How can I change when I'm old is what Nicodemus is really asking. He says to Jesus, can a man enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born again? Well, Nicodemus knew what Jesus was talking about. This was not some real deep mystery to Nicodemus, this whole idea of being washed and being cleansed and so forth. So Nicodemus basically is stating to Jesus, look, I'm an old man. Is it really possible for me to change? Because that's what this is all about. And we talked about that earlier when Jesus said, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. And Nicodemus is basically saying here, it's hard for an old person to change. And Jesus repeats that statement, adding a little bit more insight into it. Verse 5, he says, no one can enter unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Well, what is he talking about, being born of water and the Spirit? There's a whole lot of different theological ideas on this statement that Jesus makes. But we're going to talk this morning about what the real meaning is, okay? And basically what Jesus is referring to with the water is baptism. It's really simple. He's saying you've got to be baptized. You've got to be washed with water. Because as we've seen in other studies, we said that baptism is the one thing that the Bible makes clear that washes a person's sins away. And so, unless a person is baptized, having washed their sins away, they cannot enter the kingdom because they're still separated from God in their sins. And so one has to be baptized, that is, immersed in water, to wash their sins away. And what about the Spirit part? Well, I think that goes back to what Peter addressed on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, verse 38, that when a person is baptized, then what is the result of that? Okay? They receive the forgiveness of sins, he says, and also the gift of the Holy Spirit. So you see, when a person is born again, that is baptized into Christ Jesus, immersed in water, their sins are washed away, thus removing the barrier that keeps one from being reunited or reconciled to God, and they also receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That is the Holy Spirit dwelling and living within that person. So when Jesus talks about, and he says to Nicodemus, unless you are born again, unless you are born of water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom. That's one of the conditions that Jesus has set forth for being able to enter heaven. You've got to be born again, which is being baptized and receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, why is that so significant? Not only because, as I just said, it's removing that barrier, but there are two other things that we need to understand about why this idea of being born again is so important. The first one is that when a person is born again, it allows them to start over again. That's what this is really all about. It's about starting over. Okay? And when we look at and consider the fact that we are all guilty of sin, the Apostle Paul makes that clear, doesn't he? Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. So all of us are guilty of sin. We looked at that a couple of weeks ago, right? So we're all guilty of sin, but Jesus says we get a chance to start over again. That's what being born again is all about. It's starting over again. In other words, basically, we get a new lease on life. Don't you like that idea? I sure do. I'm glad that I got a chance to start over again, because if I had to face God with my life before I was born again, there wouldn't be a chance. You say, but he gave me a chance to start all over again. Now, here's what that means. First of all, that every single one of us need to start over again. All right, because we can't make it on our own. We need a new lease on life. Okay? Anybody here don't feel like you need that? You see, you do. You need to have this new beginning, the opportunity to start all over again. And what that also means is this. It doesn't matter where you have been. Okay? It doesn't matter what you have done. It doesn't matter what has been done to you. What matters is where you're going to go from here when you have the opportunity to start over. You say? starting over is fresh. It's like that brand spanking new baby we talked about. Clean and pure, no sin, and I have a new lease on life. But also realizing and knowing and acknowledging that, number one, I'm helpless. See, what got me into trouble to begin with is that I thought I could do it on my own. You say? But starting over, being born again, helped me to realize that I'm helpless. I can't do it on my own. I have to depend on Him. Therefore, I am, secondly, dependent, just like that newborn baby. Washed and clean and pure of all the sin, and recognizing, acknowledging that I'm dependent and totally helpless without Him. But I get the chance to start all over again. You see, what we have to realize, and by being born again, hopefully we do realize that the past is totally irrelevant. As I said a moment ago, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where you've been, what's happened to you, what you've done. It doesn't matter. The past is over. The only thing that matters from here on out is the future. Because we have a chance to start all over, clean and fresh and new. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 20, the disciples have been put in jail and are held there. An angel comes and releases them from jail. And this is what the angel tells them. Go stand in the temple courts and tell the people the full message of this new life. You see, and that's the key to it. It is a new life. It's different from the old. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. The apostle Paul there talks about this new life. And how does that new life happen? Well, it's by being born again. You say, look at what he says. In chapter 5, he's talking about the fact that we are saved by grace, not by our own merits, not by following the rules, following the law, but we're saved by grace. And he says, the reason that we get grace is because we are, help me out, sinners. Thank you. You say, we're sinners, so therefore we need grace. And someone might say, well, hey, that's pretty cool. If the reason I get God's grace is because I'm a sinner, then I just need to sin more and then I'll get more grace, right? It makes sense. And Paul says, by no means. Look what he said beginning in verse 1, or verse 2 rather. He says, by no means we die to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? There's that. Excuse me, that being born again. Okay? He says, we were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too might live a what? A what? Oh, please. Thank you. We might live a, sound it out, a new life. You say, that's what God gives to us. That's what He promises to us when we are born again. It's a new life. Okay? In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, Paul says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. He says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So you see, being born again allows us to get rid of the old and to begin the new. A new life, completely washed, completely clean, starting all over again in a new direction, wearing new clothes. That is the clothing of Christ Jesus. So you see, when Jesus tells Nicodemus, unless you are born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God, what he's talking about, first of all, is you've got to start over again. And that's what being born again is. It's starting fresh and starting new, all over again, just like a brand new baby. And I think that's why he uses that kind of terminology. That's why we find that, being born again. Because it gives us a chance, just like that new baby, to start life all over again. And here's the second thing that's so important for us to understand about being born again, is that it gives us a new identity. You see, being born again really is all about identity. It's about who we are. You think about, again, a newborn baby. We've got lots of them around here, don't we? Okay? And those little babies, what kind of an identity do they have? Well, when they're born into this world, they take on the name of who? Their parents. Right? You see? So little Cameron back there, Cameron has the identity of not only Cameron as his first name, but his last name is Hatcher, right? Because he belongs to Gary and Nikki, and that's his identity. And when we are born again, we take on a new, totally new identity. That child that is born into the world is given the identity of his parents. And we, in the same way, when we are born again, are given the identity of our Father in heaven. See? Why? Because we belong to Him. We are His. Just like little Cameron belongs to Gary and Nikki. Okay? You go back and try to take Cameron away from him and see what kind of fight you have, right? You see? Why? Because he's their son. Okay? And they're not going to give him up for anybody. And that's the same idea that we have in this identity we have with God. We belong to Him when we are born again. Okay? Now, there's somebody who wants to take us away from Him, but guess what He does? He protects us. Why? Because we are His children. Okay? Look over in John chapter 1 at something that that John writes here. Now, in the very beginning of talking about Jesus and Him coming into this world and this identity and so forth, look at what he says, beginning in verse 10. John chapter 1, verse 10, he said, talking about Jesus, he said, He was in the world, and though the world was made through Him, the world did not recognize Him. He came to that which was His own, but His own did not receive Him. Look at verse 12. Yet to all who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become, you see it there? Children of God. That's our right. Being born again, we become children of Almighty God. In Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 14, Paul says, because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in His sufferings in order that we may also share in His glory. I love that passage. You know why? Because it tells us who we are. Okay? It is our identity. We are sons of God. And not only are we sons of God, but we're also heirs. You know what being an heir means? What does that mean? It means that you get their stuff. Right? Okay? You get their stuff. You're in the will, you see? So that means that whatever belongs to Him, that is, the Father, belongs to who? Us. Yeah. You know what? My father owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. You see? And those are all mine too, because I'm an heir. I belong to Him. I am a king's kid. And if you have been born again, so are you. That makes us, somebody help me out here, royalty. It makes us royalty. You see, we are king's kids. Children of the Father. Alright? And that means we should be able to walk around, not snobby, but we should be able to walk around with our head up because of whose we are. Okay? We belong to God. We are children of the King. Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you, here it is again, who were baptized into Christ, that's that being born again, right? For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. In chapter 4, verses 4 through 7, Paul says, but when the time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. What's that sound like? Being born of water and the Spirit. He sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. You see, God has given us the opportunity, okay, and that's what it is. It is an opportunity to be born again. That is to start all over again, no matter what we've done in our lives, no matter what we've gone through in our lives, no matter what's happened to us in our lives, we get the opportunity to start over again with a brand new identity, knowing that we have a Father in heaven who loves us and who cares for us as His children. So, the condition is, this morning, you must be born again. Unless you are born again of water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. That's one of His conditions. So the question for us this morning to think about, we're going to stand together and sing a song in just a moment, is, first of all, very plainly, have you been born again? Say, because unless you have, then you're still separated from God by your sins. And you do not belong to Him as His child. Say, and you will remain thus until, unless you are born again. So the opportunity is presented for anyone that is ready to make that commitment. And it is a commitment that we make to Almighty God. To live as His child. That if you are ready to be born again, to be baptized into Christ, that if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make Him Lord of your life, then confess Him as Lord. Repent of the sin that is separating you from Him and be born again. Be washed in the waters of baptism. You can do that right now, this morning. If there's some other need that this church can serve for you, that we can help you with, we want to know what that is so we can do what we can. But we can't do anything about it if we don't know what it is. So we include that in this time of invitation also. Dale will be in the back to receive anyone that would like to have a private prayer or conversation with him back there. And I'll be up here in the front to receive anyone who would like to come up here. Let's stand together.